Invisible grief. Ever heard that? Ever heard those two words together? Invisible grief. That's what many are going through, even today. And the grief has put them in a vulnerable place. There are many people around them who want to say something encouraging and comforting. They want to say something that will lessen the pain that they're going through. But often those words wound more than they help. Today on Chris Fabry Live, if you've gone through the loss of a pregnancy or the loss of an infant, I think you're going to benefit from the conversation straight ahead. And I hope you feel less alone after you hear the words that we have, the questions and answers, and the music as well. If you know someone, a family member, a friend who is grieving a pregnancy loss or an infant loss, this program may be even more helpful to you as you attempt to reach out to someone who has a broken heart, to a family that is silently struggling or is going through that invisible grief. It's not an easy conversation. I think it's an important one, and we're going to have it today on Chris Fabry Live. You'll find us online at chrisfabrylive.org. You might use that, download the app for your phone. This may be something that you want to share with somebody else and say, hey, I heard this. This might be helpful to your own heart where you are. We have links and resources. There's a devotional titled Before We Said Hello, as well as music from a new project from the folks at Music for the Soul. Just go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Ryan McConaughey is doing all things technical today. Tricia is our producer. Gabby D, you'll be answering your calls today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Can you know that you're a Christian? Can you really know? Can you have peace on the inside? 20 years ago, my friend Ray wrote a little book that answers some big questions. Why am I here? Is there a purpose to my life? And that is our thank you right now for a gift of any size to keep this program running on all cylinders. The book is called An Anchor for the Soul, written by Ray Pritchard. I'd love to send you a copy. The month is getting away from us. We're more than halfway through October. Where are you going? Would you support us in what we're doing here each day? This might be something that you not only read as a reminder, but that you have on hand, slip it in your pocketbook or wherever you keep a small book to give to somebody else who needs the answers in this book, An Anchor for the Soul. 866-95-FABRY is our number, 1-866-953-2279. Give a gift of any size. We'll send it to you. Or you can go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down to the bottom of that homepage at chrisfabrylive.org to see how you can become a back fence friend. One in four women experience a miscarriage in their lives. One in four women. You may know someone right now who is going through this, but you don't know about that loss or that loss years ago. Others have lost infants, and they carry the pain of that loss the rest of their lives. Becky Nordquist is one of those people. She lives in West Michigan. She's a speaker, author, worship leader, songwriter, recording artist, and she's teamed up with the folks at Music for the Soul with this devotional and the songs. I'm going to play one of them for you here in just a moment. It's called Before We Said Hello. Becky's joining us from Atlanta today. Hi, Becky. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on today, Chris. I'm really appreciative. Thank you.
Let's talk about that invisible grief, about the pain, and about walking through this deep valley. Tell me a little bit of your story.
Well, I'm actually really just a gal that lives on a chicken farm with horses and a earless goat. But, you know, Dave and I were a blended family, and our children, our older children, are all adults now. And we wanted to have children together, so we really prayed about it. And we do have two children together that are here on this earth. But in between them and one before them, we had five pregnancy losses, and we had one stillborn son, and his name is Nicholas. And so it's just, it's been a journey to get to this day where, you know, we hope that our pain can be a comfort to others, and the process that God has walked us through, that it will bring comfort to others who are walking this journey as well.
Yeah. And there's a picture of you. If you go to the website that we have linked at chrisfabrylive.org, there's a video, and there's a picture of you and the very small little white coffin with Nicholas. When you see that, when you look at that, you know, everything probably comes back up, doesn't it?
Oh, goodness. Yes. There's so much that comes up with it. You know, there's the sorrow, the reminder that he's not with us here on earth. And yet there's this beautiful thread of joy that God has brought through that suffering, because the hope of heaven remains. And so it's really, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just, it's a mix of emotion, I would say, when we look at that.
One of the things that I've learned from Miriam Neff, who's a widow, and other widows, is that a lot of times people, in order to shield you from thinking about, you know, the hard stuff of your life, they don't talk about that family member anymore. And that's almost a double wound that people, oh, I'm not going to mention anything about Nicholas. I'm not going to mention because I don't want you to feel bad. That's not helpful. I mean, it may be at a certain point, a certain stage, but in the long run, does it help you to talk about what you've been through?
Well, you know, that's the kind of the funny thing is there's so much isolation in this journey. So many women feel like they're all alone. And like you said earlier, it's one in four of us have walked this and are walking this. So it is kind of a strange thing how we don't talk about it. And, you know, that's the hardest thing is when you feel alone, there's help, there's strength in numbers, they say. And I think, you know, when I had my first loss, I thought I didn't know anyone. And because I was kind of forced to be public, being a worship leader, people knew I was pregnant with Nicholas. You know, I had to be more public with a couple of our losses because it was obvious that I was pregnant, and we had told people. And then people started coming out of the woodwork and started telling us, you know, that they had experienced loss too. And so there's this group, and in fact, one woman, and she said, you know, welcome to the silent, you know, group of, you know, it's a silent club. And I said, why is it silent? If there's so many of us and we need the support of community, you know, why is it silent? But you're right. You know, often people don't know what to say. And that's so the hard thing. And every journey is individual. And every person's experience with this situation is different. And I think it's totally okay if you know someone that has gone through a loss like this, to just be honest, say, I love you, and I care about you, and I want to be here for you in whatever way that you need me to be here. And if that means that we're going to talk about your baby, and if we're going to remember in a happy way, let's do that. If we want to have cupcakes to celebrate their one-year birthday into heaven, then let's do that. You know, if we want to sit and cry, if your friend just needs to cry and maybe be angry, allow them, gift them that. You know, we look at Jesus. He's so the perfect example for us in every way, right? You know, he came when he saw Mary and Martha, and they're questioning, like, where were you? Where were you? You know, often we ask those same questions. He didn't chastise them for saying that. He saw their tears, and he saw the tears of those surrounding them. And Jesus stopped everything, and he sat, and he wept with them. And I think he wept for them because he realized, I mean, he knew we were living in a broken, fallen world where we're experiencing things in this world that we were never created to experience, like holding your dead baby. That's not something that our God intended. He's so perfectly good in every way. And so Jesus stops. He doesn't offer a quick fix or an answer. And here, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, you know, but he was just present. And so that example for us, when we're walking with other people who are going through trauma or grief, just remaining present and encouraging in the way that they'll receive it. Because sometimes that's enough encouragement just to be silent and be there next to them in it.
Yes. And being able and being comfortable with the silence or with the tears or whatever it is that they're going through at that moment. It's interesting. I was reading John 11 today, and there is a phrase in here, and I'm looking for it, but it's basically that Jesus loved them. You know, that was that stood out to me like never before, that here's a man and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Jesus cares so much about them, and you wonder what was their with their relationship and everything, and he was willing to stay away so that God would be glorified, and that meant that they had to go through a lot of pain in the midst of that. So we've got this music. I really want people to hear the song, Becky, and this is your recording, and you worked with Music for the Soul in this. There's also a devotional. I want to read from that, and then I want to open the phone lines at 877-548-3675. I want to know if you are in this group that you didn't want to be in, but here you are, that you have lost a pregnancy, you've lost an infant. That what was it that really helped the most as you were walking this journey? And what was it that really helped you from those around you? That we'll talk about that. 877-548-3675. You can find out more about our featured resource if you go to chrisfabrylive.org. Before we said hello, just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Talking about the silent grieving of a pregnancy loss or an infant loss today on Chris Fabry Live. Becky Nordquist is joining us. Before We Said Hello is the musical and devotional that we have linked at chrisfabrylive.org. You can go over there and look at the video that they've put together of the real people that are walking through this today. And I wanted to have a conversation with her. I did something that I normally don't do, and that is I held back with an innocuous question in the first segment when she said that she lives on a chicken farm and they have an earless goat. My very first, and I thought, this is too serious. I can't ask her this question, but here I'm going to anyway. I want to know, what did you name the earless goat?
Her name is April because she was born in April. But she's actually, took her on her original family were becoming missionaries. So we took on their Make-A-Wish horse for a little girl that had leukemia who passed away. And April was his nanny goat. So, yes, she's like a big dog. We just love April. She's a La Mancha, and they don't have ears. They're really short.
Oh, really? So it's not an anomaly. It's the way that they're designed, right?
Yeah, it's the breed. Yeah. But she's like a big dog. She's hilarious. She wants to come in the house all the time. So,
April, the earless goat. Well, that'll give me a chuckle. We had and I'm trying to remember the name of the goat. We had a goat that was trying to be sent to Liberia, and we talked about it with a missionary family, and they were starting this farm, and it started with an M. I'll remember it here in a little bit. All right. So, Becky, music. Music is really important. Music can do things that you can look at a print or even hear a conversation on the radio like this. Music just can do something on the inside. Why is that? And why is this so important to those who are grieving silently?
Well, goodness, you know, my story is filled with a lot of trauma, and I didn't know the science that went behind how music affects us until really I met Steve Seiler of Music for the Soul. But truly, I can testify to the fact that God uses music a lot to hold us together. I mean, it was my therapy growing up. I had a very traumatic childhood. So, I mean, there were things in my life that just were very traumatic, and God certainly used it because it works in your brain differently than talk therapy and other therapies that we know. And it helps to actually heal trauma. And it's very traumatic to hold your dead child. I mean, that is a trauma to lose a pregnancy. I mean, these are traumatic things that I think we've made light of, or we just don't want to talk about because it's just really, really hard. So that is the beauty of this project, In Music for the Soul. They have so many incredible resources and music that put words to the ache, as one person had said it. Like, they just can't speak to it, but the music really explains how they're feeling and the emotions involved.
Yes. And I want to play one of those songs. Let me ask you this before we do that, because I think part of the, and looking through the devotional, part of this is to help those who are on the outside looking in to really be there and to not wound further, you know, with their words. And you're gonna hurt people. You know that that's going to happen when you're in a relationship, that will happen. But you don't want to say the quote unquote wrong thing. Many times people do. What I have found for those who are going through any kind of pain, one of the main questions of those on the outside looking in is, how long will it take for this person to get over the loss? And I understand the question, but at the same time, I have come, see if you agree with this, I've come to believe that the goal of life, the Christian life, is not to get over the bad stuff or get all of that behind me. The goal is transformation. The goal is maturity in Christ and allowing the brokenness, the hurt, to be mended, you know, the scars, that God takes those scars and mends us on the inside to make us different people, and all of the tension that comes with what I just said. Respond to that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I believe with all that I am that every single thing in this life and in the Word of God, there is purpose. God is extremely intentional. If you look at the intricacies that He took to put us together, how He forms us so beautifully, even in a fallen world we're born into, you know, He takes such care and concern with every step. And it all points to eternity, right? So, you know, as we read the stories of the Bible and we look at our own stories, you know, really, we're just living out another story of redemption that God has written. You know, as we step into what He has for us in the middle of suffering and pain and sorrow, it isn't getting over it and getting past it. It's about learning to walk forward with it, holding the hand of a mighty God. And in that we get to know Him, you know, revealing His glory is all about our belief and our trust growing deeper and deeper and deeper. And what does that grow us into? All of eternity. You know, he is all about that beautiful, intimate relationship. And I'm telling you, I can only speak to my experience, really. I'm not a theologian or anything like that. But what I know is that I would not know Jesus the way that I know Jesus today if I hadn't been gifted the gift of suffering. And I am grateful. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but to know who He is of greater value to me than anything I could attain here on earth.
Yes. I'm going to throw a curve at you, Becky, because I want to play Heaven's Playground. You and Steve Seiler co-wrote that. What is this song about?
This song was actually, it started being written at the graveside of my son, Nicholas. And it was a cold, cold January when we buried him. And there were only a couple of friends that came graveside with us. It was like 6 below in a Michigan winter. That's cold. And, I stood there and every part of my mama heart was wrestling with my faith. I was wrestling with the goodness of God. I was wrestling with where His presence was. And I said, God, I know You're in this. And I'm not really sure where right now. But I need to know. I need You to give me something tangible that I can hold on to. Because I really don't want to put my baby in this frozen ground.
Yeah.
And I stood there, and He gave me the most beautiful vision of this little blonde-haired boy running through a field of wildflowers toward arms stretched out with nail scars in them. And behind who we know is Jesus, obviously, there was this beautiful playground. And there were children running and laughing and playing. And I knew that my baby was in the arms of Christ. And the thing is, that's really incredible, is weeks later we got his autopsy back and found that Nicholas had 4 birth defects.
Hmm.
He wouldn't have been able to run on this earth. And so he resides with a perfect father, and he can run, and he can laugh, and he can play, and he'll never know pain. And the other thing is, on the cover of the book, and I know this isn't really about Heaven's Playground, but on the cover of the book, it's a tiny little picture of Nicholas's footprints. And though his feet never have touched the face of this earth, they are now traveling everywhere. And it's for the glory of God. And what more could a mother ask for than that? I don't know, you know. And, you know, Steve and Tony Wood is our other co-writer. These guys, they are so much more than gifted musicians and writers and artists. They have just beautiful hearts that love people, and they love their God. And so to sit in a room and help them, you know, have them help me get the rest of the song out and really write the song, it was just such a humbling honor. And I literally went back to my hotel room when I listened to the work tape that Tony sent back and sobbed, because a place in my heart was healed in that moment.
Well, we have to hear it. We've got to hear this song that came from that pain and that ache and that hurt. And here it is. This is Heaven's Playground with Becky Nordquist.
Sometimes I imagine a sea of shining faces, warm sunshine and blue skies, and children running free. And suddenly I'm smiling to see you there with Jesus, to know
only way these arms could let you go is to know whose arms will take you in. We talk a lot here about becoming a steward of our pain, and it seems to me with that song, Becky and Steve and the others who've worked on this have done exactly that. Before we say hello or said hello is the title of the project, the music, the devotional for those who have lost a pregnancy or an infant. You can find it at chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. We have a link right there. And I want to hear your response to that song or to the subject that we have for you today. 877-548-3675. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. Sonia reached out on Facebook. She said, this is such a needed program. So many women, including myself, go through this alone. I remember a song by Watermark called Glory Baby that really ministered to me as it was written by them after their loss. I never went to a support group as it probably would have helped, but thanks for sharing your story and your music to help women heal. Becky Nordquist is with us today. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, or if you go to our Facebook page, too, we have the link right there. Before we said hello, it's a devotional. There's music there as well, including the song that we just played, Heaven's Playground. And I want to see what's going on, rolling around in your soul as you listen today. 877-548-3675. Let's go to Ann in Kokomo, Indiana. Ann, go right ahead.
Hi. I lost a child in 2000, and at that time I felt like it, since I didn't know her, or so people thought, that her death was minimized. It was a miscarriage. It wasn't a real death. It wasn't, I shouldn't mourn as hard as if it was, as if she would have lived. So there will be more children. I'll have another baby. She can be replaced. That was the kind of vibe I was getting from most people. So it shouldn't hurt as much. But there was this big gaping hole. So I know where this lady is coming from, and I know this pain, this fiery hole that she's talking about. And the only thing that was helping me was my husband. He was there. He was so solid and stoic right beside me. I was falling apart, and he was holding me together. And my sisters were holding me together.
And it was okay, Anne. It was okay that you fell apart, and you had every reason to, didn't you?
I know she would have been 19 years old now. She would have been in college, and I know that it was okay to fall apart. And since then, I've been able to help others, and not so much in my words, because I'm not, when it comes to sorrow and trying to comfort people, I'm not a real wordy person. But when it comes to pregnancies, I do pray for pregnant women. Because I know that hurt. That was the worst pain I've ever been through. And now when elderly people die, it's like, this is part of life. I've been through worse. I can get through this. But when a baby dies, oh my gosh, it's heartbreaking. And I swarm to that mother, and I do anything I can to help her through it. And
because you've been there, because you know that. Now, Becky, let me ask you this. Your husband, and everybody grieves differently. You've said that already, and we know that. But your husband probably grieved differently than you did. Did you experience that same thing, though, of him standing by you through all the struggles?
Oh, yes. And first I have to say, Ann, I'm so sorry for your loss. And, you know, certainly, our guys, you know, they're kind of the unsung heroes in this. You know, they are solid, and they are, but yet they are still grieving too. It's just very different because, you know, they haven't experienced the pregnancy like you have. They don't, you know, no one's as close to a baby as the mama because, you know, we're, you know, they're growing inside. And so we feel movements and we feel the effects of pregnancy. And, you know, we have dreams about them and both in our sleep and, you know, when we're awake. And, you know, it's so traumatic for mom because, you know, we're nurturers by creation and life givers by creator. And then all of a sudden our body's forced to participate in the death of our child. And so, but the dads are there and they're strong, but yet they're still grieving. And in the book, there's a couple of stories. One of them is my brother, you know, of guys and how they mourned. And with Dave, you know, he did his mourning very differently. I mean, because he felt like he needed to be strong for me. And he did a lot of his mourning out mowing the grass and, you know, tinkering around in the barn and on the car, you know, and that's when he talks to the Lord too. But, you know, if women aren't talking about it, guys certainly don't talk about it. So, but it's been a beautiful thing to watch, like Anne had mentioned, that turning and that place of being able to be there for other people. And Dave is now experiencing that too. And, you know, she mentioned something else that I really would like to talk about a little bit, and that is, you know, people have the shoulds, you know, like you should be over this by now.
Yes.
Or at least you can have more children. Or, you know, this is God's way of saying that this baby wasn't meant to be. You know, there's a lot of things that I think people, we want to give such a quick answer to pain. We want to, I think it makes us uncomfortable to watch someone else that's in grief and falling apart. We want to put the Band-Aid on it and fix it. And I just want to encourage people to not do that. Be like Jesus. Just be present. You don't have to use words. There are not any words in the whole world that is going to take the pain away. And I know the Word of God, and I cherish it, and I love it. But there is a time for that, too. And it may not be right after a person loses a baby to throw Christianese-type answers or pat answers or scriptures at them. You know, just be present and pray silently, or pray over them, prayers of healing and comfort, and listen and watch for how they feel loved and comforted, and ask. It's okay to ask, how can we honor your loss? How can we honor this in you? How can we walk with you? And it breaks my heart because I know I've experienced what Anne talked about, where it's minimized or it's looked over or people are afraid to talk about it. I mean, I think people want to do the right thing. They're not sure what to do. And that's also why we, you know, wanted to include the songs when you get the book, because if you don't know what to do, you can hand them a book and say, you know, maybe you can't read this now, but there's music in there and that it might touch your heart. You know, when you're ready, you have this, and just know that I love you, you know?
Yeah. And I'm so glad you got through today. Thank you for sharing your story, the journey, the valley, and how your husband was right alongside and your sisters as well. Melinda is in Indiana as well. Melinda, why did you call today?
Hi, Chris. My story actually started in the mid-70s. I ran away to California with a boyfriend, got pregnant, and we were living in a tent. So I knew there was no way I could take care of a baby and feed it and give it what it needed. So I made the horrible decision of an abortion. And as hard as that was to get through, he basically didn't want anything to do with me. So I was alone. 10 years go by, I got pregnant again, still living in sin. I thought God had given me a second chance to have a child. And then 5 months into my pregnancy, my body went into early labor. And I didn't really even realize what was going on. My doctor was going on vacation, so he didn't want to mess with me. So, you know, a couple of days went by before I got to the hospital. And by that time, it was too late. I delivered a 1-pound, 1-ounce baby, and he was perfect. Just his lungs weren't developed enough to live. And it was the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. And this is 30 years later, but it's still very hard. never had another chance to have children. I have a couple of stepkids, but I've basically been a motherless, a childless mother all these years. But I knew if I ever wanted to see my children again, I had to get right with God. Mm-hmm. And as hard as it was, that was what got me through. I didn't have a man by my side because I was living in sin and making terrible decisions. But God's grace was always there. He never gave up on me. That's what got me back to living for the Lord, and I got saved again. And He's given me the opportunity to work with children for the last probably 25 years. And it'll never be like having my own child, but I have the joy of children every day because of Him blessing me. And I know I will see my children again. And it's only because of His mercy and grace that I have that assurance.
And that comfort too, Melinda, of, you know, it was that child you just, that you delivered, who delivered you back to the Father,
yes,
in a sense, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it was so hard. Even my mother didn't want to accept it. She, when she counts her grandchildren, he's never been included. So that's been very hurtful, but she doesn't realize that. And that, I knew that was the only way I would ever see my child. So he was the reason that I got back to the Lord, yeah, through the pain.
Becky, I know that story strikes at your heart.
It does, because, dear Melinda, it is unreal to me, the stories that I've heard, so much like yours. And I am so praising God through tears right now that you did find your way back to the Father, but those babies, both of them, are with Jesus. And I can't tell you the number of women that are sitting in our churches today, afraid, ashamed, they're isolated because, you know, they made that choice. And so they have not just the grief of that loss, but then they also are carrying an incredible amount of shame and guilt. And I want to say this to the woman that is sitting here listening right now. You know, you can find what Melinda found. And that is, we have a God who loves us so much. And, you know, Jesus came to die for all sin. He either died for all or he didn't die for any. And there is not one sin that is worse than another. They all are covered by the blood of Christ. And there is grace and mercy. I have heard horrible things that have been said to women who have walked this road, and they're not based in biblical truth. These babies are with Jesus, and they are fully loved, and they are fully whole, and they are held by God, a perfect Father who loves the mommies and the daddies and the babies. And as the church, we need to rise up and love them the same.
And I think, Melinda, thank you for your call. I think, Becky, that there are many women and probably men, too, in some sense, who are saying, well, I've done, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the bad things that I've done. You don't know all of the, you know, the struggles here. And there's, and God couldn't forgive me for, you know, whatever. And almost feeling like, well, he punished me with this. Don't believe you, the enemy of your soul. You run to the Father, and you feel his embrace, just like you sang in that song. There is a Father who wants to envelop you and forgive you and put a robe and a ring, and there's a party to be had here, because a sinner repents, turns, and comes back to the love of God. That is a worthy thing to do, a great thing to do. As a matter of fact, on our webpage, if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see more about what we're talking about today. But the top of the bottom is how to know Christ. Knowing Christ, you can have that kind of relationship with God that you really crave, one where he says, I love you. I accept you. You're my child. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. We can't do what we do without you. Thank you for your support, the Radio Backyard Fence. If you're a back fence partner, you got the back fence patio post today. I went out back And I don't have an earless goat, but I do have two cats, and they were frolicking in the background. And I talk about not being where you want to be. Ever been there? It's one of those things that we do. We kind of pull back the curtain. Here's what goes on behind the scenes. If you want to receive that each Thursday, be a Backfence partner. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org, and you'll find out more about our featured resource right there before we said hello. The music as well as the devotional that's written by Becky Nordquist. I want to get Steve on in Florida before we end here. Steve, why did you call today?
Well, we lost a set of twins 29 years ago, and we, in our support group, we learned that this grief is not linear. It's more of a circular thing. It comes and goes and comes and goes. And in illustration, I haven't grieved over my loss until like last year. I saw a video where a mother was looking at an incubator and said, "I'll never get you. I can't wait until I hold him." Well, it just blew me away because I don't think my wife ever got a chance to hold my son when he was alive. And I just, it comes and it goes, but it's not frequent. But, and I really appreciate what you said about don't use Christianese with people when they're losing babies.
Yes.
Don't try to heal them. Let them grieve.
I want to get Becky to respond to that. The circular nature of the grief, Becky, what do you say?
Oh, absolutely agree, Steve. I'm so sorry for your loss, you and your wife, and thank you for speaking out for the men that are walking this journey too. And it's there's so many that are on this journey with us, but it will hit you at the times that you least want it to sometimes. There's all kinds of what they call triggers, and the best thing I can say is that, you let those waves come, and let them do their thing. God wants to enter into those waves of grief. And sometimes the waves become less. And then there are periods of time where it seems like they won't stop, And so that's just so absolutely true. But if we just allow ourselves and be patient with them, it's important. It's part of our processing in the way that God created us to grieve.
Becky, I want to thank you for being with us today. And I have so many different calls that we could take now. I think the way I want to end the program today is to play that title cut from this. It's a devotional as well as music. Before we said hello. I think this may do something on the inside of somebody who's walking through this or somebody who's walking next to them. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. You can find out more about Before We Said Hello. This is Becky Nordquist.
We were so excited. What anticipation. We prepared a place for you inside us. How you were wanted. We had plans and dreams. Then in an instant, it all came apart. Like a flower that was crushed before it could bloom. Like a story just begun. Like a flower that was crushed. before it could bloom, like a story just begun that ended much too soon. We grieve the hopes cut short, the memories we'll never know.
You can find out more about the devotional and the songs Before We Said Hello at chrisfabrylive.org. You're not alone. Your baby's life matters. I hope you heard that loudly and clearly today. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.